1 Thessalonians chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to 10, and I've asked Graham if he will read that for us. Thank you very much, Graham.
Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Thanksgiving for the Thessalonians' faith. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before you, our God and Father, your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath.
Thank you very much indeed, Graham. Please keep your Bible open at those passages, and we'll look at them just in a moment or two. But let's come before God in prayer. Let's ask that he speaks to us from his word. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for saving us, for bringing us into your family. And Father, we want to thank you for the local church. We thank you, Lord, as we read your word. We see the importance of the local church in terms of its structure, its leaders, its elders, its deacons, and so forth, and the members of that church. We thank you for the gifting that exists within the church. We thank you for the work that we do and the ministry that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that the local church is indeed your plan, your purpose. We thank you that we are part of this. So, Father, we pray now as we come to look at this church, Lord, that was formed at a point in history by Paul's ministry, how the Holy Spirit came upon them and transformed them. And Father, our desire is that we would be the church of Jesus Christ, that we would be that impressive gathering of people. So, Father, we pray that you will speak to us now from your word. Challenge us, we pray, encourage us, we pray, as we consider ourselves as the church of Christ, the local church in this place. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just share my screen with you once again. Can you see this? Can everybody see that? Great, very good. As you know, we live in strange days, and over recent months, and especially even in the latter weeks and months, we've been praising our national heroes, that the NHS are essential workers and so forth, and we look at these and we think, wow, they're great, they're worthy of applause. And then there's local community heroes, people that's known in a community to have done something impressive, and they might end up in the Archer or somewhere, whatever that might look like. And one of the things that I found frustrating, I must confess, when they're talking about opening up pubs or gyms or cinemas or supermarkets or shops or whatever, it's really just the place of the local church. We really don't get much of a look-in. You've got doctors, delivery drivers, firemen, almost everybody with a pulse gets recognised at some point by its community, and yet the church is often neglected. Certainly the government don't really understand church. They don't really understand when people gather for worship. They seem to think worship is just a private, personal thing, that you open a building and one person goes down, kneels down, says a prayer, and then leaves. They don't get the whole importance of the fellowship They certainly don't understand what the local church is. And yet, if you're a Christian, you know the importance of the local church. You know it from experience. You know it from God's word as well. So what I thought I would do this morning is to look at us as a local church in our community. We are part of this community. As I says, you'll not see a vicar. You don't tend to see vicars as an essential worker. We're just invisible. Churches in many ways are like a ghost town. People have come, they've disappeared. I remember in the early days of lockdown here, when we literally were all locked away, I remember seeing our church, the grass was quite long, almost looked as if we had all just abandoned the church, never to return again. It had that feel about it. Now Alan's been cutting the grass, there's a bit of vibrancy there, but there's still no people going in and out. They don't know what we do. Hopefully the wee article that appeared in the Archer, that might go some way towards it. But I want to try and impress upon us the importance of the local church and who we are and how we fit into every community. There are certain organisations within communities that have quite a high profile. It might be choirs, might be art clubs, it might be the local chemist, it might be whatever. And in that community, they are well known. But like you, I hope you feel a bit sad that sometimes, and especially maybe even our own church, that sometimes we can be seen as invisible. Do folk miss us? Do they know what we are all about? So this brief sermon is an attempt to try and address that. I have 7 points, believe it or not, but I'm going to go through them very quickly. They are very simple points. But I hope after giving you these 7 points, as we look at the local church, this local church, that you will puff your chest out and say that we are important. And it gives us that work to do to make ourselves known, to make the gospel known. So that's what I want us to do in this sermon. I'm looking at my watch, 24 minutes past. I won't preach for more than 30 minutes. There's something. I'll nip it in the bud and we'll do this. But the church is a community in miniature. This church here, you remember, Paul planted this church in a three-week period in Acts 17. He was there for 3 consecutive Sundays. He preached the word. People became believers. There was an uproar, and Paul and the team were chased away. You remember, most of you know this because we're studying this together. And then while he's away, he's wondering how they're doing. Are they going on in the faith? Are they impressive? What is this church doing? So he sends Timothy back to encourage them and to find out about their faith. And that's what Paul does. And he receives news that they're doing well. But Paul loved this church so much. He felt as if they were orphaned, like children separated from their parents. In a three-week period, he really bonded with them. And that's where Paul is. And he sends Timothy, and he's encouraged by this. And he receives such good news. Look at verse 7 of chapter 1. You became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. They are a model church. They are a good church. Paul preached. Things happened. They became a local church. They became a model church, a church to hold up and to say, wow, look at this church. Others knew about them. Their faith was spreading. Paul says, we don't have to say about your faith. It's obvious to the communities, to the towns and cities round about, that something has happened. And that's why I've chosen to look at this church, that the Lord may challenge us as well. How impressive are we in East Finchley Baptist Church? Now, I've given this sermon a title. I must confess, I really like this title. Here is the title to the sermon, East Finchley Community Church. That's what I'm calling it. It's great. I get to rename the church in one sermon rather than just say Baptist, which doesn't really mean much to most folk. It says more about what we believe and what we practice as a church. I've been a pastor of Baptist churches, of community church, of an evangelical church. And the word community speaks something to the community. And it should speak something to us that we should be a community church, a church that reaches out into East Finchley. And this is our community. In that title, it says so much. Don't worry, I'm not suggesting we have a meeting to change the name. That's a nightmare. I've done that once. But I just like seeing that title, East Finchley Community Church. So what does a community church look like? How should we be impressive? What I've done is I've taken aspects of community and I want to show you how those aspects are met in our church. So first of all, the church is like a power station. And verse 5, Paul was wondering how the gospel came to him. He says, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit. This is not just a body of believers who just get together, who have a common belief. This is what people don't know about the church. The church is a powerful community because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, has come upon us as individuals. He comes upon us with power. And this power transforms us. It transforms us in our heart and mind from not knowing God to knowing God, to knowing Jesus, to knowing our sin, from not loving God to loving Him. And it gives us the power to understand the good news. And this is what happened to them. They were changed not only in their beliefs, but their whole life had changed. Their whole way of life had changed. That's why they were being persecuted. Before Paul came on the scene, they were living their life in a particular way. But now through the Holy Spirit, they're living a new way of life as another community. And this should be an impressive community because the church, why should the church be so impressive than the restaurants, than the pubs, than the newsagents, than what have you? Because the church is God in the community. That is quite something to remind ourselves that East Finchley Baptist Community Church, whatever, is God in the community, not the building, but the people. And here we see how their lives was changed. Verse 3, they're talking about work by faith, labor by love, endurance by hope. They now had faith, love, and hope. They didn't have that before. Now they have a faith in the living God and Jesus as Savior. They now have a love for God and a love for the Savior and a love for each other and a hope of eternal life. This is really quite something. It's as if the Holy Spirit comes. He comes to us in power. He puts new batteries in us, and we have a new potential to live a new life. Every community needs a power station. It needs electricity just to function, just to do what it needs to do. The church without the Holy Spirit is powerless. It is useless. But the Holy Spirit working through us in the church is very powerful. We have the power of prayer. We have the power of God's word. It is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. We can't do this ourselves, but it's up to him to change lives. We want lives to be transformed. And that's what he does. He gives us the ability to be completely different people, to be impressive people, a loving community, a caring community. And this is really what the local church is. I challenge you to compare the church with anything else on the high street. Nothing can compare to the local church. That's the saddest thing. When we're applauding others, nobody applauds us because they don't understand. But perhaps we're not that impressive because there are things that we need to do or still do, that we need the Holy Spirit to infuse us. We are a power station, and it makes all the difference. Secondly, we are a workshop. Our faith, when somebody becomes a Christian, it's not just a personal passive thing. Well, I just believe new things. It shows itself. Every church should be an active church. Look at verse 3. We remember before our God and Father your work, your labor, your endurance. Here is a church that's not just sitting back saying, well, I'm saved and that's all that matters. I now have new feelings in my heart. I now have new beliefs in my mind. Every church, powered by the Holy Spirit, is an active church. It's a powerful church. It labors. This is a church that worked. It worked in every sense of the word. You remember We are God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So as Christians, when you become a Christian, you don't only become a saint, you become a servant. And there is no shortcuts to this. This is not an optional extra. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us in power and changes us, makes us as an impressive, like Christ, no other, the knitting club, the sewing club can't do that, the news agent, the pubs can't do this, no other organization or ministry can do this. The Holy Spirit comes upon us in power and we work. We become servants of God. We now worship Him. We witness for Him. We become servants of each other. All the one another verses. Bear with one another. Help one another. Encourage one another. We become servants to the community. This is a real challenge. Social concern. When I worked with Charlotte Chapel, they had the whole department just called social concern. This is an area perhaps we're weak in. We have little fishes, but is there more we can be doing in social concern, caring for the community, becoming East Finchley Community Church, where when we're not there, the community miss us. We servants to the community and servants to the lost. Evangelism, people who do not know the Lord. These people, because of their faith, love and hope, they work. That was their motivation. It was their work. It was their work produced by faith. They had a faith and it meant work. Labor prompted by love. They labor because they love. Love God, love others, love your community, and you will work, and I will work. If there's no love, there will be no work. And if we lose hope, we do not endure. We think it's too difficult. I won't do this. If we have genuine faith, we will be involved in gospel ministry and social concern. So a model church is a powerful church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, changed people, changed lives, changed outlooks, and a working church in witness and worship and serving each other and serving the local community. Does that make sense? This is a model church. Thirdly, we are also a family. There's a photograph of us in our November weekend away. Paul, if you read this letter, Paul loves this local church. He thinks so much of them. And he talks to them. He says he's like a nursing mother. He's like a father towards them. He sees himself as a parent. Elders are like the parents in the church that feed the flock, that care for the flock. And we are also brothers and sisters in the Lord, having this love for each other. You won't get this in any other organization in the high street, the love that's shared between Christians, because it's the love of God poured into us. It's not just a bunch of do-gooders, as people think we are. The love of God has been poured into our heart, and therefore we genuinely have this love for each other. Paul says this in 1 Thessalonians 3:12, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else. We're not a club. We're not a club. It's not about us and having a good time together. It's love for everyone else, for people outside the church. And he says in 1 Thessalonians 4, in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia, 1 Thessalonians 4:10. They didn't just say, aren't we a great wee church? They loved other believers scattered abroad. We urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. It's great when Christians help each other practically. When we look out, remember the early church, that all believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own. They shared everything they had. And then we read, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in them. This is what I desire. You should desire this for the church, that God's grace works powerfully in us. We really are a family. It's great that people have said this about us. It's been one of the most encouraging things. People who visit us, they see us as a family. New members have said this. We are a family. It is great. Call each other brother and sister. Northern Ireland, they do this a lot. How you doing, brother? How you doing, sister? I would encourage you to do that. It sounds wacky to some folk. You really are our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Use the expression, because they don't talk like that in the pub. They don't talk like this in the newsagent. How you doing, brother, sister? They don't have the same intimacy that a church can have. This what ours is the best thing about East Finchley Community Church. We have this power. We should be hard working in terms of service inside and outside the church, and to be this family, to help each other practically and spiritually when anyone has any needs. Fourthly, we are a news agent as well. We're not just a family or a club. We have a message to proclaim. Here is Pacey's news agent on the high streets. Gone are the days when you used to have a billboard outside, a triangle tripod thing, with the latest headline, Boris Johnson says whatever. And that was the headline. If you want to know what's happening, what's important, you don't go to the chemist, you don't go to the pub. Or maybe you do, I don't know. Maybe folks share news in there, obviously. But you want to know what's happening, you go to the newsagent, you pick up the newspaper. What is the message we need to hear? The church has a message to proclaim. Chapter 1, verse 8. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia, but your faith has become known everywhere, so that we don't need to say anything about it. People knew, there's the church at Thessalonica, they are Christians. They believe, we know that they are genuine. We are a news agent. We are, what is the message that we are to proclaim? It's the same message that we heard. This is the passage here. Look at verse 9 and 10 of chapter 1. That is the gospel in a nutshell. It's a great definition of the gospel in the whole of the Bible. They themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. How did they receive them? They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven who rescues us from the coming wrath. Turn to God from God from idols to God and started to serve God. This is the message that we proclaim. This church proclaimed this message. They lived the message. They were read by all. They were a high-profile church. People knew them. They knew the message that they proclaimed. When God does a work in us, it's always with a view to others knowing about it. We'll say that again. When God does a work in us, it's not just for us. Salvation is personal, but it's also community in nature. Romans 1:8, first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. I wonder if our faith is being reported on the high road. It's quite a challenge. Is it too far-fetched that our faith could be known and that others know what we're about? Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I wonder if we are put under the microscope in Matthew 5:16. Does our light shine before men? Do they give glory to God for the good things that we do? This is the challenge that we face as a church, to raise our profile, to be doing good deeds inside and outside the church. We bring good news. We preach the gospel. We are a news agent. Fifthly, we are a school. We need to grow in our faith. We come to church to be taught, as well as to worship. I remember hearing some of our members saying, yeah, one of the things they like about the church is they like the singing. Singing is good. I sincerely hope that you have a desire to hear God speak. Singing is where we speak to God. When we hear God's word, he speaks to us. Do we have ears to hear what he says to us? Are we like pupils who don't hear? The archer is a school. We are a school. Paul talks about this in chapter 4. We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Verse 2 of chapter 4. For you know what instructions we gave you. And he mentions in verse 3 as well that it's God's will that we are sanctified. Verse 4, we should learn how to control our body. Verse 5, not in passionate lust and so forth. Verse 7 of chapter 4, for God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. This is why we preach, to be better disciples, to be taught from God's word, to live as we are taught. Denominations. Certain denominations seem to focus on different things. If you look at the Church of England or the Church of Scotland, the state-run churches, if you were analysing them and says, well, what type of church are they in the community? You'd almost say they're actually quite good at being social workers. They maybe not preach the gospel as much, but they seem to be out there helping folk and having cafes and various things and putting on various projects. So as they've looked at their community, they almost see themselves as some kind of spiritual social work. If you look at charismatic churches, they're almost like a health centre. If people are hurting and lonely and afraid or in practical disarray, often the charismatic churches come across as very warm. They're like health centres. You can go, there'll be somebody who'll sit and talk to you and so forth. Sad to say, evangelical churches and reformed churches concentrate on the teaching aspect. We are schools. We are sound in doctrine. We know what we believe. We have every I dotted and T crossed. I experienced this in my first church. I was in a Grace Baptist church. Couldn't fault the doctrines that we believe. We were squeaky clean, almost saying, we thank thee, Lord, that we are not like other men. And then 50 yards away in the community centre, the charismatic church appeared. We'd been there for years, making very little inroads. In 6 months, this community centre was packed, but with locals. And I'm thinking, how come they're going there and not coming here? And I thought, we might not believe what they believe, but we sat in our wee ivory tower saying, Lord, I thank thee that we have the doctrines of grace and we can explain it, every member. Whereas they seem to be a bit frothy. But the simple truth is they loved the community. They spilled into the community. The community owned them as their church within months. And I found that incredibly challenging. It's not enough just to be a school. We need to be that, have that social aspect of the community, that family that pours out, that news agent that heralds the gospel. It's quite a challenge. The simple truth is churches need to be all of the above. We need to be socially concerned and socially active. We need to be gospel driven. We need to be that health centre that cares for each other. We need to be a school that teaches. All this is wrapped up in the local church. We are a school. Sixthly, coming to the end, racing through these, we are a police station. In every community, there are threats to the community safety aspects. The church and Christians are no different. We have laws that we seek to uphold, the laws of the land, but the laws of God. We are the voice of the community. We speak against racism or injustice or greed or evil or wrong or violence. We are like the police in that way. We are in a battle. The devil might not be out to destroy the pubs and the restaurants in the high street, but he would be out to destroy us. And that's why Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, let us be awake and sober. We don't belong to the day. Let us be sober, putting on faith. Love as a breastplate and hope of salvation as a helmet. In other words, a church is like the police or the army. We're harnessed up. We're in a battle. It's not all sitting having a PIMS in the park. We have a spiritual work, a spiritual warfare. There is things that we fight to uphold the law of God, the word of God. In Ephesians 6, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, the powers of this dark world. Therefore, put on the full armour of God. We're a power station. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to be this impressive community within the community. We're a workshop where we work, we serve the Lord, we serve each other, we're a family. We herald the gospel as a news agent. We grow in our faith. We're like a school where people are taught not thermodynamics, but the doctrines of the faith, that we might be those Christians. And we're in a warfare. And lastly, we are also a hospital. Finchley Memorial Hospital. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Do what is good for each other and everyone else. In other words, look at the words. Encourage the timid. Comfort the faint-hearted. You will find them in every church. Every church has the weak and the timid and the frail. People who are struggling. We're not a perfect organization. We don't have it all together. This has often been the thing that's attracted people, outcasts of society, to the local church, because the local church will accept them, warts and all, because this was you and I. We're not impressive in and of ourselves. We're sinners saved by grace. We too are weak. We too are frail. We're easily disheartened. We need encouraged. We need comforted. We need help. The church is not an impressive organization for that reason. We are a hospital. We are those who have been healed and bound by Jesus. We are those who need the grace and the forgiveness of God day by day. We are a spiritual hospital, a physical hospital, a practical hospital. So in these seven ways then, Paul touches on the fact that they are a model church. The Holy Spirit had come upon them in power, changed their lives, continuing to change lives through them. That is such an impressive thing. We are the most powerful thing in our community because it's the church is God in the community. We are also a workshop. Because of this, we are now doing good deeds. We are God's workmanship inside and outside the church. We are a family who love and care for each other. We have a message to proclaim, not about Boris Johnson, but about Jesus as Lord. We're a school. We need to learn and grow in God's word and be taught day by day. We're a police station. We stand for the word of God and so forth. And that also, we are a hospital, open to everyone, weak and hurting. Does that make sense? I've started to preach my lungs out this morning, and it's hard to, I can see one or two of you. So I don't know how you've received this. But as I look at this, this is a massive challenge. It annoys me that in some ways our church is invisible. It shouldn't be. We should be a beacon, a light set on a hill. And it'd be great if the community are saying, wow, it'd be great. When is the church opening for our youth work, children's work, the community stuff you do? We need to grow, of course. But we need to strive and not settle for where we are. This is an impressive model church. We would do well to model ourselves on this church and to pray and to strive and to work to be that. That if the coronavirus ever dies away and comes back again, they might miss us. They might see us as essential workers in the community. You are an essential worker, whether you acknowledge it. Does that excite you? If that doesn't excite you, I'm happy to receive your resignation, honestly. Join the Darby and Joan Club or the Sewing Club if that does it for you. This is the most powerful thing about East Finchley. We are the most impressive, or we should be, yet we're a work in progress. May the Lord make us a model church in the weeks, the months, and the years that lie ahead. We're going to close by standing and singing together, O Church, Arise. Let's stand there, or let's...